just a bloke in a bar.
What is up, ladies and gentlemen? We are here with the great Sean Porter. Now, you may have watched him commentate some of the Australian fights, which I really do appreciate. We have such a, you know, a well-known, a world-renowned boxer come all the way out to Australia to commentate some boxing in Australia and obviously help grow the sport. Sean Porter, obviously a world title holder, WBC, IBF title holder as well. And, you know, he's been a part of some of my favourite fights. Welcome to the show. How you going, brother?
I'm doing great, man. Happy to be on the show. I've enjoyed the few trips that I was able to make over there last year, and man, I hope I'm able to get back over there for some more. I know Tim has, for the second words, he's graduated, you know, and he's in the big leagues now. And I hate that the big leagues mean you leave Australia, you know. Yeah. So hopefully he'll have a homecoming fight, and I'll be able to get back over there.
Well, our hope is that he graduates to the big leagues, but then he becomes so big he can force one of the big dogs to come to a stadium in Australia. That's our hope.
There you go. That's the plan. I'm sure it is.
Now, mate, it's been an absolute whirlwind. The Tim Tszyu, obviously Thurman fight cancelled due to an alleged bicep injury. First of all, I'd love to hear your thoughts on, you know, I used to be a professional rugby league player, so we never have to deal with, you know, cancellations, people pulling out. So the audience that listens to this podcast are rugby league fans, but it's a big boxing crossover as well. But I'd love to hear from a boxing perspective. You spend 12 weeks in camp, you've done all the media, huge paydays, all that kind of stuff. What is it like as a boxer when your opponent pulls out of a fight?
For me as a fighter, my biggest thing was always, and it only happened to me one time, my thing was, can I still fight? Because it's the only way you get paid.
Yeah.
And the one time that it did happen to me, we were fighting on NBC, one of the biggest TV platforms out here. And my dad's thing was, he's got to fight, find him somebody, and we'll do whatever we have to do. So in terms of strategy, my dad's philosophy, and so was mine, we grew up in the amateurs. We fought in tournaments numerous times. Half the guys we fought in the tournament, we never knew who they were, and we never knew who we were going to fight until the tournament draw was done. And so my dad was like, treat it like any other day. We'll start the fight what we do well. Mm. We'll see what he does, and we'll make our adjustments as we go along. So I think that's the main thing for Tim, which I don't doubt. He believes so much in himself. Now, I don't think it's anyone. You could put anyone in front of him right now, and he's still going to, as we say, work accordingly. What that means is work behind his jab, look to see what his opponent's doing, and look to be the aggressive Tim Tszyu he always is. If I need to make any adjustments, I'm making the adjustments as I go along. And I think that that's how they're going to approach Fundora. Of course, they got a much taller guy in stature and for Endura, but I personally think that it makes for an easier target, and even beyond that, a target that's going to literally be right in front of you. So call me crazy, but I think this is the easier fight.
You also have your own podcast, Showtime Sean Porter.
And yes, sir. So, the Porterway Podcast.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So if you enjoy this chat, make sure to subscribe because I'm sure you'll be getting really, really great insight. Now, mate, speaking of, you know, your fight style was very, you know, forward moving, high work rate, almost, obviously there was high technical skill, but you were willing to exchange at times, in my opinion, correct me if I'm wrong. With a guy like Fundora, as you just suggested, he will be there. Do you actually, you know, you've alluded to, he actually may suit. Now, flat-footed can come across as a negative term. I consider Tim Tszyu a fighter that sits down on his punches, and that suits a guy that's going to be in front of him. Do you think he's actually going to get more success than a guy that moves quite a lot like Thurman?
Absolutely. More success. The thing for Tim, because he does sit down on his punches, and a lot of people, you're right. Like when you talk about being flat-footed, there's a small separation between being flat-footed and sitting down on your shots. I wouldn't classify Tim as a flat-footed boxer. However, he sits down on the shots. When you sit down, you put more weight on your feet, and so you actually have to be a little more agile for someone like a Keith Thurman. And where Tim isn't known for his agility, he's not known for being agile, he's not known for, you know, his left and right movement so much as he is his north and south movement. A guy like Fundora, who's literally another north and south fighter, and makes for it's going to be an exciting fight from the opening bell. The one thing, as an Australian rooting for Tim, I would tell you to be concerned about, Fundora punches down. So the trajectory of his punch, he brings power coming down because a lot of his fighters are coming up to the power. Yep. So that's one thing you have to be concerned for as it pertains to Fundora. But honestly, aside from power, aside from the length, which he doesn't use very well, there's not a big puzzle coming from Fundora. So the thing I look to see Tim through is actually be a little bit more agile than we're used to seeing him. Be a little bit more, not so much hesitant, but not be quite as aggressive right off the top of the fight. But if you look at the fight he had with Brian Mendoza, round after round, it was like a building process. So look for that same sort of style and even the outcome of the fight as well.
Now, you alluded to it. The strange thing about Fundora is being 6'5", 6'6", most people hear that and go, okay, he uses his range, he moves around a lot, he uses his jab. Ironically, he's actually a guy that doesn't use that kind of style of fighting. He likes to work on the inside, which is bizarre. Now, I've recently watched an interview of when the fight was announced between Fundora and Tim Zhu, and Fundora said that the camp was focused on boxing smart. Do you think we could see a smarter game plan from Fundora where he is using his range?
No.
Okay.
No. there's very few fighters in this world who can fight one way for an extended period of time and then change that style to suit the opposition. I'm one of the few fighters in this world that was able to do it. And take a look at the name that I'm about to throw out there, Andre Ward.
Yeah,
Andre was the kind of fighter that could be boxing in one fight and then coming at you and hands up and just kind of like, you know, getting really gritty with it in the next fight. Most fighters, if thinking and being smart isn't a part of your muscle memory as you build your way, most fighters they don't have the muscle memory of being able to think and react at the same time. Fundora is a straight ahead, I'm going to punch you kind of fighter. There's not much thinking going on. So I don't think you can just flip that light switch and become all of a sudden this smart boxing thinker in the boxing ring. It just doesn't happen that way.
Now, you've been on, you know, huge boxing cards, you know, headlined, all that stuff. What's it? But don't get me wrong. Timmy Zhu has been on pretty big boxing cards, but he's never been on one of this magnitude. What would you, I guess, as a veteran of the game, if you're talking to Timmy this week, what are you trying to say to him to make sure that the big bright lights and the pressure of carrying event is on your shoulders?
I don't even have to tell him anything. And I guarantee you after the fight, he's going to do some interviews and say, oh, it was the same thing. It was the exact same thing. That's what he's going to say. Once you've been on a big card and you've heard the noise, you've heard the crowd, honestly, man, when you're especially like Tim, when you're locked and loaded on who you are and what you do, and your only focus is conquering the guy across from you, the boos and the cheers sound just the same.
Yeah. What about from a perspective of the fight game is a very unique game, and there's levels to it. You know, there's Australia, then there's America, which is, you know, essentially the pinnacle of boxing. If he wins this game, he takes a step into that echelon of potentially fighting Crawford. Is there anything that he may have to adjust to being that big of a star to a degree, but also understanding that the fight game at that level is very unique and not many people reach it?
Well, yeah, I think he's done all of the right things so far. I know he did his entire camp over here in Las Vegas for this fight. I didn't get to see him one time, so I'm definitely probably going to reach out to him and sue him or something like that, because he did not call or text me one time the entire camp. But that's what you need to do when you are a quote unquote foreigner and you're going to a new territory. The best thing you can do is get yourself acclimated to how people think, how people walk, how people talk. The list goes on. So for him to be over here for 6 to 8 weeks plus, getting ready for this fight. I think he's seen everything he's needed to see. He'll have the in-ring experience after this fight to take into the ring against someone like Terrence Crawford. But I think Terrence is in he's in a class of his own. And I really don't think there's some of the greats before us that I think can match up well with Terrence. But in this era right now, I think I'm the closest one, and I don't think anyone's going to get closer than I got.
Yeah. I mean, Terrence Crawford, yeah. he is truly, when you talk about a puzzle to solve and the different looks that he can give you, it is truly, it's almost unique, to be honest. It's almost unique.
I tell you what, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I tell you what, you know how people like to play chess.
Yeah.
And he's a chess player. And so the thing about him is, if you play chess with somebody a lot, you kind of know their moves. Mm. And so he's the kind of guy in the ring. He knows, you know all my moves, so I'm going to do this just to see what you do.
Yeah.
He literally plays the boxing game the same way he'll play chess.
Yeah, wow.
With that kind of calmness and that kind of confidence to do something completely different just to see what you're going to do about it. And then he'll just kind of turn it on and start to pour it on. So
yeah,
he's in a class of his own, man. Great, great guy and great athlete as well.
Now with Thurman, and look, I wouldn't say I'm a casual boxing fan. I'm an avid boxing fan, but I'm also not as knowledgeable as obviously say guys like yourself and people that are really, really deep in the game. And so he's a bit older now, not too old, but he's a little bit old now. He's been inactive for two-ish years. That comeback fight, but he hasn't had many fights in the last few years. He gets a bicep injury. There's an argument to be made that is an injury could happen sometimes due to inactivity. What's the future hold for him? You know, does he need to heal up, get back in the ring, or is this the last we may see of the great one time?
It's really hard to say. He's a great talker. Obviously, he still has a great record, great experience. He brings all that to the ring. From a business standpoint, it's kind of like you've continued to get injured. You've continued to be inactive. I can't afford to risk trying to promote you and lose on a promotion. The thing with Tim, which was an advantage for PBC and everyone involved, Tim isn't a name that's so big and he isn't a presence that scares people off.
Yeah.
You know, people are still willing to take a chance with him. If this is Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence, and hypothetically Errol Spence falls out due to an injury, there's not many people that are willing to step in and just get in the ring with Terrence in a matter of days. You know what I mean? So from this standpoint, from a business standpoint, you're kind of looking at this like, man, I don't know if I can afford to take these risks anymore with you, Keith. But if he's able to talk his promoter into getting him another fight, he's still, you know, we haven't seen the last of him because of who he's been to the game so far. He's supposed to be healthy, but, you know, this situation happens. You got to take that into account. So I don't think it's the last time we see him. However, if the business doesn't want to take these risks, this could probably be it.
And with to my understanding, Terrence Crawford has made himself eligible for WBO. Is that correct that he has put that his... Or WBC?
I'm not exactly sure. I know a few things. Number one, his thing was, this was probably my last fight at 147 anyway. Mm. It was tough making the weight class. I truly believe that, even though he came, this was his, you know, a couple of fights now at 147. I do believe he'll go to 54. And for some guys, I think when you go to another weight class, I think you should have an automatic bid at fighting and for a championship title. So I do believe that if he is willing to fight for a title, he should be able to fight for whatever title he wants.
Mm. And do you think that is that the right call at this stage? If Tim does get through this fight, and Fedora is still going to be a tough fight, so not looking past him, but let's say Tim does get through this fight, is it smart for him at this stage in his career to go straight to Terrence, or would you say give him a couple more fights before going to a guy like Terrence Crawford?
He won't have that kind of time because, as I see it, you know, Terrence has done this and done this at the highest level for a number of years now. I don't think he's willing to wait another year or so for someone like Tim to get in the ring with him. From Tim's side of it, I would let that ship sail. That's just, you know, that's Terrence is kind of like he's like the beast you've only heard of, but you've never truly seen. You know, when you get in the ring with him, it's just so much different from what you've heard about or what you think you, that you know. And, you know, I think that that's a mismatch because Terrence is so versatile in the boxing ring. I think if I was in Tim's camp, I would tell him, continue to ride this wave and let's look at other directions. We can still get big, build your name, get your money, and not have to risk it against somebody like Terrence Crawford.
Now, with the fight with Fundora from Timmy, are you a predictions guy or are you not a predictions guy?
I'm not a predictions guy. However, I've gotten a little bold in the last probably 6 months or so, maybe even the last 3 months. I've gotten a little more bold than I've ever been, and I've began to make predictions, even though I never really would like to. I do think that this is a fight that Timmy is going to win. I'd rather not say how I think he's going to win, but I think I like to put percentages on fights. I think this is 60-40, maybe 65-35, Tim Zoo.
And for yourself, now being in the media game, what would be the difference between the media game? Do you start to get a bit of an understanding for some when you were fighting and, you know, you'd see a headline and be like, oh, that headline is ridiculous or whatever. Are you starting to get a bit of an understanding or you're just loving it at the moment?
I love doing what I do, but I hate kind of for the sake of words, that backlash that I'm starting to receive from fighters, you know, and fighters take a lot of things personal. Fighters are very sensitive. And fighters will look at me and say something along the lines of, I thought that was my boy. I thought we were friends. And it's like, yeah, we are. But this is me being realistic about how I have analyzed how this is going to go.
Yeah.
I didn't care about the journalists and the reporters and things like that. So not much of it ever bothered me. But I have gone through a phase of where I tried to be careful because I didn't want to, you know, disrespect or bother someone else. But now I'm at the point, I'm kind of like, yo, I have to say what needs to be said, make sure that people know that I know what I'm talking about. That way when it happens, then I'm not after the fact, I'm saying, oh yeah, I knew that, you know. But the risk you take at the same time is, you know, you kind of damage some friendships and relationships because, you know, they don't make that separation the same way.
Now, for everyone listening, where should they go to subscribe to your podcast? And what is the breakdown of the podcast? Is it purely boxing? Do you do some NFL, NBA, the other sports? Or is it purely boxing?
All right, so here's the deal. We got the Port Away podcast. You would think that the name of the show is the Port Away because of my name. However, shout out to Richard Schaefer, promoter. He came up with this expression, this expression, and I just loved it when he said it. And I held on to it. We were in a press conference, and he said the way the porters do things are just different. They have this way of doing things. It's like it's the porter way. And I said, wow, like that just resonated with me. The way I do things, the way I carry myself, the humility, the humbleness, the meekness, the excitement and the charisma and the fun and all these kinds of things. That's what you get from the podcast.
Yeah.
My co-host, he's just as fun, just as funny, and the list goes on. I, of course, I've got all of the boxing knowledge. He's gotten more boxing knowledge from doing the podcast. We try to include football. We try to include basketball. Shout out to DraftKings. We have a DraftKings partnership right now. So that gives us the opportunity to talk about other sports. We've had comedians on the podcast. We've had some rappers on the podcast. We've had some musicians on the podcast, and I'm really just trying to make it even bigger. The number one goal I want for my podcast is to expose the boxing world to who else loves the sport. And the other side of that is to expose boxing to those who don't even know how great this sport is. You know what I mean? So I always like to say it's a boxing based podcast that's extremely entertaining, and follow us on YouTube because that's where you really get to see the characters. However, we're on every podcast platform.
Mate, thank you so much for joining us. And as I said before the podcast, huge fan, really do appreciate it, brother.
You got it, my man. I'm happy to be on this right now, and we'll talk after the show.
Thanks, bro. Thank you.